What's going on, my beautiful people? Another great day here inside the Black Actor Studio. Joining me today is a multi-talented comedian, actor, writer, and producer. You recently seen him on BET's Tales, Fox's Empire, Snowfall, and Netflix special, How to Act Black. Stay tuned.
Tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Hey, what's up, guys? We're welcoming the Black Actor Studio. Our guest today has made a mark for himself in Hollywood, not only on stage, but on the screen as well. He has worked with some of the biggest names in the industry, like Ice Cube, Cedric the Entertainer, the Wayans Brothers. And you've seen him in Barbershop, Meet the Blacks, Scary Movie 4, and the list goes on. The Black Actor Studio is very proud to welcome D-Ray Davis.
What up, man? I'm good. I'm great.
Thanks for joining.
You just reminded me of all the stuff I did. I forgot. You be here for a while, man. You forget what you're doing. Because you stay working all the time.
So it's good.
It's good to hear it sometimes.
Hey, I'm a huge fan. Been a fan for a while now.
Thank you, man.
Barbershop, man. Hilarious.
That's great. Because I hate all my work, man. Like every actor does. I mean, after you get home, you watch.
You
always wish you could have redid something or did something different, read a line different. But yeah, man, I appreciate that.
For sure. I want to talk about How to Act Black for a second.
Yep.
What was that whole premise? Was that your idea to do that?
Yeah. How to Act Black, basically. Not the title. I had about four or five different titles.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, Netflix, they have their ideas as far as, like, how they want to, not brand you, but how they want to present you first time coming out to their audiences. Because they know, as a brand, Netflix knows what their audience is, because they have so many different outlets. Where me, coming from an urban side of comedy and old, I don't say I'm old Hollywood, but I always loved and enjoyed the old vibe of Hollywood and the films and the way the HBO specials and all those, when they have a whole different idea. And when everything's streaming now, via even here, they have young people in there and people in there that's like, they got it. And all the people that we used to tease in high school about paying attention to all the computer stuff and all that, those people are running the world now, and they know where to market you. So I'll say, name-wise, I've always been a promoter of myself. I've always thought of different things to drop and different. I always thought of myself, like, how would a rapper create an album cover.
So I want
everything to be an album cover. So I'm building this catalog of this, you know, Jay-Z-ism type thing when I'm dropping it. So they just took what I said, and that's how to act black.
That's dope.
See, I took you in a whole circle for no reason and still got here?
Still got here.
Yeah, how to act black. Yeah, D-Ray's idea, by the way. Yeah.
That's dope. Well, yeah, you have an old school vibe to you, obviously, you know, Def Comedy Jam, you know, you've been around for a minute.
Luckily, I was right in the middle of both, man. I feel like I came in at a LeBron time where LeBron got to, because LeBron got to play with Michael Jordan, and he got to play with Kobe, and he plays with all the young, you know, cats. So I feel like I came in a perfect LeBron time. I still understand what people mean when they say, you know, that ain't a real comedy. But I do understand that there's not many outlets where you have to, you know, create your own lanes lot of times.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
I know.
Because it's construction everywhere.
It is.
It's construction everywhere all the time in Hollywood. So you got to always create another lane.
That's for sure, man. Oh, my God. Construction everywhere.
Yeah, you got to figure out another way. You got to go to Waze sometimes.
People don't know how to drive. Waze be taking you, like, back streets and up and down.
So you got to figure out, Hollywood is just like traffic. You got to figure out how to navigate through everything and continuously, you know, stay relevant. For sure.
So I like to start at the beginning. So where were you born?
In a small island off of, Blue Island, in Chicago. I was born in Chicago, man. I cannot, I want to say Cook County Hospital. Yeah, Cook County Hospital. I just looked at it not too long ago.
Well, I just want to say to my viewers, this is not a coincidence. I mean, this is just coincidence. I don't plan this. That you're like my third guest from Chicago.
It's good. There are a lot of people from Chicago, man. We're ambitious. I mean, we get out here.
Yeah, exactly. We're just talented people. What can we say? So what was your father's profession?
My father was in the Marines, and then he did a lot of stuff, man. I can't really pinpoint nothing really, but he's more like one of those city worker guys. He's really hands on.
Right.
He could do just about anything from building houses to cars.
Man.
He has that. I don't have that. His best profession was making kids. He made a lot of those. So I got all the brothers and sisters.
How many brothers and sisters you have?
There were 12 of us. There are 11 still.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, one of my brothers decided to take the easy route out. So I advise anybody out there thinking about that, that talk to your family, talk to your brothers. There's no depression deeper than not being here to express your depression.
Right. That's true. That, speaking of that, were you a fan of 13 Reasons Why? Did you watch that?
I did, man, because, you know, it revolved around anything that revolves around kids making adult decisions always scares me. Mm. If it's not funny or, like, scary.
Yeah.
Then if it's, like, anything with any, man, it's hard. Like, I would like to go to more hospitals and visit more kids, but I'm always scared that these people are living such a short life.
Right.
And they're so much smarter than me. And it's so scary to walk here. We're trying to make these kids happy and make them. And they're talking to you like, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
I'm strong. Yeah. This is what I'm going. And you're like, and it makes you feel like, man, I'm not living my life right.
Right, right.
Because I was given a chance to live longer.
Exactly.
And here I am messing it up, you know, not getting up early and you know, saying, oh, I'm a yawn today all day, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, definitely some self-reflection.
So his mom is like that. So For sure. But I didn't watch 13 Reasons. I didn't. But I'm also a real big sci-fi crazy guy like that.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Okay. All right. So what is your mom's? What was your relationship with your mom like?
Relationship is always it's crazy with the moms because I don't want to say that. Like on stage, I always make fun of her because she had you know she not make fun of, but I speak on the fact that she had drug problems back in the day and you know. But that all was inspirational to me because a lot of people say you are your parents and we do become them. Like as far as being mean, I'm not the nicest guy all the time walking around, but I also got a lot on my mind. Most of the time. I'm also trying to think of ways where my kids can be surviving, and a lot of people don't think about that.
Right.
So when they're walking around, as I like to call freelancing life, and just like, oh, what's wrong with him? You're a comedian. You're supposed to be funny all the time. It's not true. You know what I mean? It's like me walking up to McDonald's worker. You've been working all day and telling you go make me a burger.
Right.
You're not into it. You know, I have a lot of friends who are masseuses. I ask them to rub my hand. They're like, hey, I've been working all day. So you don't have that mentality all the time, although I would like to brighten my days with speaking to more family about positive stuff. But my mom had this, she always had this cloud over this beautiful woman, but she always had this cloud over her that was like, I should be doing this, I should be doing that, but not taking the steps toward doing those things.
Gotcha.
And she didn't come from a very encouraging father, you know what I mean? Because her mother died when she was, I think my mom had to be maybe 20. Maybe 23. So still, you know, you need your mom is strong with women, especially in that era.
Yeah,
during that time.
For sure, for sure.
And she died of leukemia, and my mom was just, I knew she was really hurt by it. You know what I mean? So I'll say some of the decisions she made as far as looking for a man took her down some paths that she preferred had not. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it ended up involving your kids, because we say we're a package deal until something like that is happening, and the kids don't want to be part of the package.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think as far as strength goes, I wouldn't be who I am if it wasn't for her.
For
sure. Ruby wouldn't have did what she did or taught me, or I wouldn't be. Sometimes this mean has kept me protected from situations like molestation by men, or sometimes my lack of trust in certain situations with money might not be my friends are, you don't trust me? And I'm like, I don't trust nobody. I can always say, see, I get to bring that nobody into it. You know, if you had a cousin or family steal from you, you'd be like, I don't trust nobody. So I like that she instilled that in me. And it enabled me to find my own perspective on things, like finding people to trust. And the realization that she would have friends around her that she would always call, my sister's like my sister. And she asked us, I was like, what does this mean? That we think just because we're born into a family, we have to be family members with them, when you can create your own family. You can create your own happiness, create your own people around you.
Right.
You know, so.
How does that trust aspect, How did that hinder you or help you in the Hollywood scene? Because, I mean,
when I first got here, it didn't help a lot because you like, Asian, what I'm giving you 10% for? I got a cousin named Moo Moo, make that a company. You know, your trust level, people telling you what you should and shouldn't do. I was always against the grain, which helped me comedically on stage because, you know, nobody was doing that.
Right.
Like, nobody was, I mean, people were against the, like, they would say odd things, but nobody was, like, totally against the grain as far as, like, I hear you coaching, and I had big actors telling me. I had, like, at the time, Dwayne Martins and those guys were trying, like, you're going to be a lead actor. And I'm like, yo, I'm going to be what I want to be. Like, it was like, even the positive stuff sounded like somebody forcing me to do something.
Yeah.
But I'll say it helped because it gave me a place I can go and be alone and talk to myself. The lack of trust makes you only trust yourself, which means you're basing all of your decisions on your own. I had nobody to blame.
Gotcha.
You had nobody to blame.
Right.
But as far as the way Hollywood works, you have to trust people. You have to trust your makeup people. You have to trust your agent. You have to trust you have to trust your assistant to drive money to the bank, you know what I mean? And she's not going to take $100 right. or say she got robbed, man. So you have to, at some point, come to some kind of agreement with yourself, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Some kind of like, you know, just some kind of barter system where you like, you give a little bit and give a little bit of what you, yeah.
Yeah, it's a give and take, for sure. So one of your brothers, Steph Jones, right? So it's interesting, a small world.
Garen.
Yeah, Garen now.
Now, goes, yeah, can't call Garen Steph now. Jones no more.
Yeah, ain't just Steph Jones no more. He was actually one of my coaches in transformational training.
Oh,
which
good.
Is, yeah, which
is because I was
crazy.
His coach in life training.
In trust and all that, right?
And smacking him around and all that, yeah.
That's dope. So how was schooling for you? Did you start, like, really going into this this field and really getting drawn to it in school? Or what was it
no.
when you were coming up?
I'm going to say that I think that all black people know we're good at something, but we can't pinpoint exactly what it is.
Mm. Man.
We can't pinpoint it. So we have all these ideas in our head. We see somebody sing and we can sing a little bit. And our parents don't they don't help. They, like, hear you humming something. They be like, oh, he going to be a singer. so I never had that, but I always knew it was something. Like, I loved gymnastics when I was young. I wrestled for a long time. I thought I could sing, you know what I mean? When it comes out to you hear another kid singing in school. And rap, I always made music of some sort,
yeah?
You know, without wanting to take the classes. I would say that my passion for performing was more to be the cool one at the family reunions.
Mm.
Well, not family reunions. We never had to. I would say more at the family functions.
Family
like to
gatherings.
Be, yeah, to make more of my aunties laugh and to be the silly guy and to be, you know, everybody has sing-off, dance-off against their cousin friends.
Of course.
So I would say that was what inspired some of it, but I never was into it. I was always into the background of how is the money created from the paper to and how do I make more money to make more business for more opportunities for people.
Mm.
So people would not, and I did this, so people wouldn't ask me for money all the time. I said, how do I, like, when people come tell me how successful they are, by the way, all my friends, you come tell me you booked this movie or you're doing that, I am one of the super, so happy, never bitter. I'm always like, good you did that.
Yeah, yeah.
I know what I can do better.
Mm-hmm.
I know if we go on stage and you go on stage, I know where I'm feeling my confidence at, but I'm never mad at somebody for the path that God gave them.
Right.
Or whatever your higher being is, or your willingness to do the hard work that goes behind it. Because a lot of times I'm lazy. You know what I mean? Because I think talent talks for me sometimes. Mm. And sometimes talent is quiet. And you got to speak up with work.
With work, yeah.
I like to say that I felt like not in school I wasn't inspired to like be this, like, no, there was never a star moment. I would go to watch the actors and I'd be like, this is whack at the plays. I'm like, oh, look, he got to remember his lines, you know what I'm saying? Oh, look at this comedian trying to be funny. But I never seen comedy on TV. First time I saw it was live, and that's when it was like, oh, this is something I could do.
Okay.
I talk smack to my cousins all the time. I talk crazy. I'm really good at roasting. This is easy.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
okay. So what was something that you saw on TV, or was there any shows that you liked to watch?
My uncle was a bartender. My uncle was a bartender at a comedy club. The only thing I saw on TV that inspired me to really want to be in the business was Five Heartbeats. Because I saw how they slept. I saw how they lived. And I was and the story itself got to me. But
Leon Robinson.
Yeah.
Dope.
But I saw the comedy show. I walked in and I saw a comedian performing. His name was Shay Shay. And he had the audience mesmerized. And I stood back there with my arms folded and I said, I could do this. Just like that. Without even, I can go on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I never really had never had butterflies and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Never. Like, that's the one thing I felt like, maybe, I don't know, people would think I was crazy, but I would, like, walk down the street and I'd be rapping. I'm, like, kind of guy, like, if you see me at Runyon, I'm, like, I don't care who watching type thing. I don't know, like, I never cared who was watching. I always, like, if they did, I was like, all right, then you're missing out on, like,
right.
fun.
Okay.
Only time I'm cool is when I'm thinking, and when I'm thinking, I'm mostly in loud places so you don't know I'm thinking.
Gotcha.
I'm in a club every night. I'm, like, looking around. You're thinking of where I should be dancing. That's what I'm like. Club movie, club this, that. Oh, look at that shirt. Who made that? Who created that? Where'd that come from?
Wow. So, yeah. Just thinking. Going
all out. Over the damn place, like I am right now. During this.
So were there any of the greats that you liked, like Richard Pryor, Bill Cosby, you know, Bernie Mac?
anytime you make a decision to get into something and you want to be good at it,
mm-hmm.
you got to watch it. You got to watch who you thought was great at
right.
it. And you don't have to take all of their, because I like to say this to the young comics coming up, young Instagram comics, you don't have to take all of someone's swag, all of their, just the bits and pieces that, like in school, you go to school to learn, they write it on a chalkboard, but you don't remember everything you learn. You remember the important pieces that's going to build the person you're becoming. So I think I watched Richard, and I would just watch him, and I watched the comics I felt like had a little bit in common with me,
mm-hmm.
but I never really idolized anybody.
Gotcha.
Because I didn't want to idolize them to the point where I started to act like them.
Because
that happens a lot. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you get interviewed and you're like, I'm the best that did it. And then you're like, no, you're not, Kobe. And I'm kidding. I'm messing with this joke.
All right, I'm Kobe, playing, come on now.
I'm playing Kobe. You didn't say Kobe and then Michael. And then Kobe. Now, I'm from Chicago, so
right, of
LA. No, LA was like, about time.
Right.
Ice Cube was like, you right, Kobe, do your thing. but no, I'm saying, I don't want to say, like, I know how good I am, and I do have that mentality as far as, like, the Kobe mentality was, like, I do feel like if I went on stage during those people times and I had this type of thought uh-huh. process, I would be good, but you don't know that.
Right.
Ali and Tyson. Tyson would say Ali was the best. You know what I mean? And he's a monstrous boxer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He was a whole different kind of beast.
For sure.
So you can't just say that, but I would watch all those greats, man. You got Red Fox and the swag people have.
Red
and
Fox. So.
To work but not work is hard, but to still have the art of maintaining an audience like a Martin Lawrence.
Right.
To still deliver a whole show and put some of your intimate moments in it like a John Leguizamo.
When he did
a special, it wasn't all funny. There was 10 minutes where you was like, yo, you sat back like, nah, he didn't.
Right.
Because he was delivering this one-man show of sincerity.
Yeah.
So I just watched all those arts and for people that always think, like, yeah, I can't lie. I'm very good at freestyling. I'm very good. But mm-hmm. it is a muscle.
It is, for sure.
No matter what. If I sit down, like, and I stop thinking the way I think all the time, it slows down.
Mm-hmm.
And no improv class was fast enough.
No.
Or I wasn't, and I'm not telling people not to go there because I wasn't inclined enough growing up. I wasn't given the moments where the kind of things they talked about in the improv class matched mine.
Gotcha.
Because there's not many real, there's no, like, you go to Second City, which is great, and you go all these places out here, which are great. There's no improv class for black people other than what Nick gave on Wildin' Out.
Mm.
He would bring that stuff over there and then make it black.
Right.
Or
right.
make it urban or make it more understandable to the hood people. And that's why Wildin' Out is so successful.
For sure.
Because I didn't, you know, you're not going to sit around and be like, play Freeze, which is a improv class, and we're talking about teacups and crumpets where, you know, I'm mixing drugs and, you know, there's no black, but even in Hollywood, there's no all black every week get strong class
mm-hmm.
for what we do.
Right.
So somebody can be the next Tiffany Haddish who have that improv or that Kevin Hart mm-hmm. improv in a scene.
Right.
You wonder how they think of this.
Right.
All those other people, and I'm not saying others, I'm saying other people, practice together all the time. So when they work together in a setting, it's five comedic actors, white actors who are blowing it up. You're like sitting there like, oh, damn, that's funny. Oh, he came funny. Not us. It's one star in the middle.
Right. Yeah.
One funny black guy, one funny white guy.
One
funny. That's why movies like Harlem Nights were so strong.
Man.
Because they all got together and was like, oh, snap. They sat at the table. I don't even know what that was like.
That's one of my favorites.
And when they got the freestyle in the room with cursing each other out and you got Richard and Eddie and come on, man, and Red Fox.
Red Fox.
And, like,
Arsenio, everyone, wow.
Even the cameos.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Like, that's when you know, and that's been a minute since you've seen one of those.
Yeah, it has been. We need to bring something like that back for sure.
A few of them.
Write it. But, what was your thoughts about like the whole thing with Bill Cosby and now that you mentioned Kevin Hart with his tweets and stuff?
I think that, okay, this is what I think about Bill. I think that if you loved black comedy at all, if you loved artistry of anything that was moving during that time,
mm-hmm.
you were disappointed.
Yeah.
You know? I was disappointed more than I was upset. Mm-hmm. And it's not my job to be upset because it didn't happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
People love to get upset about things that happen to me. It's your job to be disappointed and want to do something about it because if you were to put somebody in that position, mom, great aunt, and it happened to them, you would believe them.
Man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Black people have to do something to you for you not to believe them. Your auntie would ask, if your auntie come over and she steals something out your house and then she says, Bill did this, you'd be like, nah, he ain't do it. Because remember you stole my socks?
Right.
But I'm disappointed, but we also say let's believe in the judicial system, but we've been twisting a turn by the judicial system. Mm-hmm. Timing is a weird thing, man, because it happened during a time where we got a president who's not exactly speaking for us at all.
Right.
And then they're tearing down all the people that probably can get close enough to him to speak.
Yeah.
He'd listen. Bill Cosby's around. Bill would have went and talked to the president. Maybe not directly for what we want to hear, but it would have been a little different than, you know what I mean?
For sure.
Us, because
sure.
We roasted Steve.
Yeah.
I don't know what Steve said in the
room.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Steve's a very outgoing person. I don't know what Steve said in the room. Steve ain't scared of Trump. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't openly talk about it, but we was like, oh, he meet with the president and all that. But we got people that he's he won't speak with that could speak for us because they're too strong and like the TIs.
Yeah.
Too powerful. He'd already spoke his mind, so now we can't. Now he can't talk.
You can't go back from
it. Can't go back from where it's at, but we need that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the Bill Cosby, I just was disappointed, man. I was disappointed in however it went down or whatever happened from the moment it happened and upset that people need people around. People need... That we got to be coached for everything now. I don't think Kevin meant anything malicious. I don't think if you come here and call me a light skinned little teeth dude, whatever, light skinned ugly, green eyed. I don't think 1,000 green eyed people are gonna be outside saying, "Well, do you know green eyes go blind quicker than any other eye?" These are real facts. These are facts. But if I want to start a movement, I can start a movement.
Start a movement. Anything. Me too. Movement coming out.
I don't like that we can't say. I don't like. Well, it can't say I don't like it. It's just, it's caught in the middle, man. When I was little, you say somebody throw like a girl, and they had a whole commercial saying, you can't say that.
Right, right.
But girls will say in a minute, I'm stronger than a dude. Mm-hmm. And dudes, you don't see no guy stand up like,
wait a minute.
Hey, man, that's degrading to. So once again, it takes it back to don't say nothing about her because the girl. If a girl says I'm strong like a man, but if you see a man and a woman fighting, you're going to take the girl's side immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be a Layla Ali.
Yeah. Hey.
You're going to try to help and you get socked. You try to help her and she, you know, she whooping on her dude for something he did. So you just don't know, man.
Right.
Kevin thing was different because they just want the pull, man.
I just feel like
somebody sitting at home with nothing to do. If you had something to do all day, you wouldn't search up nobody's old tweets, man.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And then people can change, too. Like, it's like...
Change from
thing.
What?
Same
That's
person.
How Kevin's thought process has not changed. Kevin's wording of the thought process has changed.
Right.
People, he can't, if he changed too much, he's not going to be who
he
loves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
I just happened to fall on the side. I said something which I thought was funny a few times, and I've said things on stage, and I've done shows that I can't do now.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what it is.
Yeah.
Think times do change.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And we can't be mad at times changing because we want time to change for other things.
Yeah. That's true.
So which one you want? You're like, oh man, I can't even say this no more. Time didn't change. But you want time to change. Like I want black people to do this, I want black people to do it. I want Gucci not to post. Man, the person who put that sweater out, I don't care what nobody say. I saw what the sweater was.
Mm-hmm.
To black people, when you look at something and you're upset about something else, it's gonna look like the thing you're upset about.
Oh yeah.
I saw when I first saw it was a red lipstick,
mm-hmm.
which I saw on a lot of things lately, but I didn't. I seen a picture of it on a wall, and I didn't think it was blackface.
Mm.
And until somebody said, "Yo, you need to look at it," and I tried to do a history of it, I didn't see nothing else that came from that. And it wasn't until Mayweather said, "I didn't know this either. You know that company owns this company and that company and that company. We boycotting all of them." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Oh man." I don't want to throw away my stuff. I just started being able to afford this other stuff. I got to throw everything away.
Yeah, T.I. said, nope, we can throw it all away.
And
burning
down,
stuff.
And trust me, I'm down for supporting black-owned businesses because I've bought the shirts.
Yeah.
I've bought the pants, but I need the names to be right.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I need the names to have something. I'm not buying your YOLO clothes because you only live. I'm not buying that. That's for me to wear to the beach one time. Because YOLO, you only live one. I mean, I'm living wild and I'm not.
Right, right.
Or at least say it in a different language. Go to an ancient African language and make names the way that other people do. Make the quality up to par.
Yeah, the quality's got to be
quality up
sure.
to par. Right. And don't, like Kanye makes his clothes and then we talked about them. He made his clothes. They said, "Oh, you look like homeless clothes."
Yeah, yeah.
But then when they were making used jeans back in the day with holes in them, we was buying them up.
Right. That's true.
Damaged clothes. Remember damaged?
Damaged jeans.
Damaged jeans. We bought them up.
My mom was like, "What? Why Kanye you doing do
it?"
This?
See, I joke about it because I'm a comedian. I live on both sides, but I would rock the stuff. I got Yeezys at home. You know what I mean?
I hear you. So when you some of your first work, right? Diving into these characters, and how do you prepare for a character and on set and off set?
Offset, that's Cardi B, man. So, I'm kidding. No.
That's Cardi B.
I don't prepare for nothing. No, Offset, you know what I'm saying? No, I would say that comedians, we always preparing without knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
We go on stage, we perform all these characters, we do all these characters, then we get a role, and we go, oh, this character fits that.
Mm.
Like rappers write raps all the time, and sometimes that rap don't make that song.
Right.
And they'll have that record, and they'll put those lyrics on another beat.
Okay.
So basically, the script is the beat, and our characters are the lyrics.
Right, right.
So I would take my character and combo it with something. Like, it'll say, uncle who does this, and I could have been doing a cousin, so now I'll take a little, you know what I'm saying, a little piece of my my uncle. And that's when you create this this artist, this gumbo for the character. And you're like, oh, this is what this is going to be like. This is what this mix is going to be.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So this was this celebrity, this what I'm going to create this guy to be in this. This is gonna be this celebrity in this moment.
Gotcha.
When you want him to be.
Right.
Because every
right.
time I do a character, I want that guy to be the celebrity in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
whether I'm acting as a homeless person, act like his bum, I want him to be the star of that moment.
Gotcha.
So that's how I create my characters. I don't know what everybody else do, but
oh, that's dope. How was it stepping into Hollywood for you in the beginning? Because you know, you started obviously in comedy, but was it hard for you hitting the ground running when you came from Chicago? How did that work?
I got really, people hate when I say this, really lucky but blessed. And I started out on fire.
Mm-hmm.
One of the only people that did what I did. Nobody else from Chicago did comedy 6 months and won Laugh Riots. Nobody, to this day.
Yeah.
Nobody did comedy 3 months and won the Miller. Nobody was doing for second place in the Miller, but still in that case because Cedric and Tane had won the Miller.
Right.
Big name people been doing it for years, but I just hit it being silly and funny and hood. Got here. The same day I got my TV deal, I won the Laugh Riots that same day. So I got my deal in the morning, won the Laugh Riots that night. Because
nice.
When I walked out of ABC, I said, it'd be crazy if I won that contest tonight, too. And won that, too. Didn't have a car problem. I won a car.
Wow.
So I took the money from my deal. I took my, which I wish I wouldn't have done at that time. Save your money, people. I won a Volkswagen Beetle, a Bug. And that's when everybody was driving them.
Right,
I took
right.
the Bug, and it was next to the Lexus dealership. I said, put that money on that car, which was stupid. But no, so I kind of had it. My rough time came when I decided I just wanted to do acting.
Mm.
And I was like, I'm so good at comedy already. You know, it's in my mind. I'm good. And then Kevin Hart is like, you need to tour, man. That's how we survive. I'm
right,
like, get your
sure.
Lord.
For sure.
What you talking about? I'm an actor. I did four movies back to back. And the money didn't, you know, you spend money, you got things to pay. People don't understand. You got bills, you got taxes, you got stuff you need to put up. And there's nobody, once again, who comes and talks to us the way they talk to the NBA players and say, when you get this check. And I take this back. I take that back because I did have one person talk to me, but it was Flex, who sat down and told me he bought $500,000 car when he first got his deal. And instead of me looking at him, he said, don't do that. Put your money up. Save your money. And all I heard was $500,000 car. All I heard was, man, my deal must have been lower than that. How you get that? And I was like, I'm buying a $500,000 car. So, but we do need somebody to sit down and consistently speak to us about what we need to put our money at and just invest in stuff like that.
Right, right.
And somebody first get a deal. I mean, they do it with kid actors now because the parents are spending all the money. But somebody get a big deal at first, why not put a portion of your money up? Why not part of your contract be you have to take 10? Because we had so many actors run back down here or not do well or health-wise they need this. We have to take 10% of your money, like you have to take 10% of your money, give it to your agent, have to take certain for lawyers. We have to take 10% of your money and put it up. So when you come here and say, I don't have no money no more, it's already put up. Instead of waiting to the end when you're getting older and you know you get sick in the middle sometimes. Yeah. Not just always when you
Right, exactly. So, and
but basically I hit the ground running, but I was prepared. I hit the ground running, but I had Nikes on. You know, as far as what I thought I was going to do.
Right.
But you never know when you hit the ground running how many different trails it is, how many shortcuts you got to take. You know, what I'm saying? If your feet going to hurt, you're going to stop and have to get a foot rub.
And so
don't let your toenails grow too long. You know, scratch your shoes apart. Yeah,
you have a daughter as well, right?
Yes, I have two daughters.
I'm sorry. So how's being there for your daughters and the relationship with your daughters, pursuing this career and all that?
Thank God we have FaceTime.
Yeah.
Because you can't go out and really, really force all your dreams and do that at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
That's why the decision making when you have a kid, you have to make sure you do have the time. But you do. I'm the stronghold in a lot of situations. So when something's not going exactly how my child's mother wants it to, and her husband, who's a great guy, they are great together as far as helping with Brooke. My other child's mother is great. She's she pays attention to my daughter, and she don't bother me. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
Think about things that they know they can handle.
Yeah,
they're like both of them kind of like they have the strength that our mamas had, that old strength.
Yeah.
It ain't he out here with all these all in the car. Even if they have their moments, we talk about them because it might not have been what you thought it was.
For sure.
And let me show you a little bit of behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So now maybe you'll look at me differently, the same way you want me to look at you differently. If I see you twerking and your girlfriend only posts you twerking, and I'm like, where's my daughter at? And I looked and you showed me the whole video, and she to the side saying, my daughter next, you going to get it? Yeah. I'm like, it's moments like that. You'd be like, oh, you're dancing with the kid.
Right,
you just
right.
don't see the whole picture all the time.
Right.
So I'll say being there for them the way you want to be, if I had a 9-to-5, is not that. But this isn't a 9-to-5, and I'm also not giving them a 9-to-5 lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So 9-to-5 lifestyle would be different. I'm giving them a
5-to-9
lifestyle, you know? I'm giving them
5-to-9.
I'm doing that. I'm not paying off colleges. You know what I mean?
Hey.
I ain't paying off colleges to send my kids, but I'm making sure that they will be able to go to college of their choice, whether smart or not.
Right. Can you imagine if a black person got caught doing that?
They keep saying get caught when I'm really not even upset with them. I might sound bad saying it, but you work hard in your life to be able to do things different for your kids.
Yeah.
If I make enough money to helicopter my kid to school and your kid can't helicopter, your kid can't. I'm sorry.
Sorry about it.
This is the way it goes.
Right, right.
Because there's a lot of things I see Diddy do. I want to be one of Diddy's sons.
Hey. Right?
Yeah, man.
Like, can you adopt me, Diddy?
Yeah, and I'll be like, man, you can't do that stuff, though. You can't mad at that woman for investing in the school. She wants her daughter to go to school. Her daughter in her mind. These women, they're, or men or whatever, their kids could have not been that smart in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, damn, maybe they'll fix it when they get to college.
Right.
So you're going to not accept. I'm going to not do whatever it takes to get my kids accepted.
Right, right,
but,
right.
But we promise to do whatever it takes to make our kids happy.
Yeah. And you know how the media just flips it on it. Oh, you're paying them off and all that stuff.
You got the money. You know how much money it could take? You know how many... You know what they wish they would have spent the money on?
Right. So I want to, before I get into some of your credits, which are amazing for one, but I want to know, is there any like personal demons or challenges that you find yourself going through during this journey?
Yeah, all the time, man.
Yeah.
Years ago, I do comedy and Bernie Mac was there and he saw me out and he said, what are you doing? He said, so I'm out partying. He's like, you should be, you know, I only seen him 3 times, like total conversation wise.
Right.
He said, you a club guy or you a comedian?
Mm.
And I said, both. He said, you can't do both. And being younger, you see yourself do both.
Yeah.
But as you get older, you're like, man, I am doing both a lot. You know what
right.
I'm saying? Y'all don't need to be waking up noon. So I say my demon is I go out and I know that's when I'm most creative because I am more creative on stage than comedians who don't go to clubs. As far as talking about everyday life in clubs.
Right.
Like when I see a comedian talk about a club, like, man, he wasn't out.
Yeah.
Get out of here. You don't even go out like that. Get out of here. I ain't never seen you out.
Uh-huh.
I seen a friend of mine, James Davis, is in the club that I host on Mondays out here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I seen James, and he came to talk to me. He said, yo, I'm out, D. He had a table full of comedians. He said, yo, I went in tonight. Spent $7,000. And I said, all right, man, have fun. Turn up. He said, hey. Never doing it again. Well, I'm consistently, not spending $7,000, but I'm consistently in the clubs and living in that environment and watching. I've watched girls get young, girls get old. I've watched ball players go from being the man in the club to standing at the bar. I've seen everything. If I was to write a book about the club, and hopefully that that would be the one good thing comes from it. But I'll say most of my demons come from I push myself a lot, or I deliver so many ideas in my mind that I forget what they are and they keep getting pushed down. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
But as far as collectively, no, because I get the therapy that we don't have as Black people.
That's another
thing. Black people don't get to lay on couches and talk about their problems. And if they do, they're embarrassed because they can't talk about everything. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So I get the chance to go on stage and be my own therapist by saying it out loud to people who laugh at it, the things that I thought. You know what I'm saying? Watch people become lifeguards for the things I thought was going to make me drown. You know what I mean?
Right.
The ideas I had in my mind that I thought was pulling me down, the weight I had, watch these people come out and enjoy it because they all going through the same thing and it tickled it.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, just like getting a massage. I don't know if you get them or not, but they touch certain places and you laugh. You're not ticklish there.
Yeah.
Your muscles so strained there.
Right.
So you laugh about it and that's what it is. So I do fortunately get that outlet. And I understand, I feel bad for the comedians who have made a decision not to be around no more. I can only, and I'm not saying this is right, not with Robin Williams, is the only thing that I feel torn between, because the thing he loved doing the most, which was talking and delivering information, which he was one of the best that ever did it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this just because, like, I worked with him and been around him. He's a machine.
Yeah,
and I was around him, and he was so fast, because I'm fast.
Mm-hmm.
He was so fast, I was jealous.
Mm.
So I knew at that moment that, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I was jealous.
Right,
it was like,
right.
It was like, I'm happy, but I'm like, dang.
Yeah.
So when he couldn't do that no more, his thoughts were getting boggled and he wasn't thinking clearly, I could see how that could make someone distraught.
For sure.
I could see how a person who runs track their entire life, that's what it feels like. He ran track his entire life. Legs were not being as strong as they were.
Mm-hmm.
When you feel like people only respect you for that.
Right.
So I would tell people, you know, to find other outlets. Therefore, you don't live within your demons. Just find other outlets, places you go. I, fortunately, am a psychopath, so I find places in my mind. Like, I always go to this waterfall in my mind. I'm always there. And when I let people in, and it's real, this is real, by the way. People always ask me, like, what about some of my secrets? I never tell this. But I go to this waterfall in my mind, and I'm just under this waterfall. And every now and then, I'll be like, I want to see my daughter run through here, my daughter run through there. She don't ask for nothing. She's not hungry. my mom will come in. She'll just smile every now and then. But she got to walk back out the waterfall. And I'm just in there by myself. And I could think of my everything in there.
Right.
You know? So if you don't find a place to take yourself, I tell it to people, you don't have to always go on vacation. You can go without going.
You can go on vacation in your mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's dope. So I want to get into Wild Now for just a second.
He got out of your mind, right? crazy. D-Ray crazy. Yeah. Go on vacation in his mind.
Y'all got that, right?
So the only cut going to be in vacation in my mind.
Right.
Hey, I always knew it was crazy.
I do want to take this time and thank you all for watching. If you're watching this live right now, we appreciate you. Also, thank you to AfterBuzz TV and Black Hollywood Live, Maria Menounos, for allowing us to be here. Having a great time here. And thanks again for joining me, D-Ray.
It's been awesome, man.
So, yeah, I want to get to Wildin' Out for just a second. What was one of your favorite moments on Wildin' Out?
I always had good moments on Wildin' Out. Wildin' Out was always fun. Nick Cannon is one of the best producer, smartest guys I know as far as just staying in his own lane and figuring things out. I don't care what you say about him. He's rich.
Right.
I had a lot of great times on Wild Now, I'll say one of my favorite times was we were doing this improv game where we both had, I think we had a ball and they had a rope or something like that. Or we had a hula hoop and they had a rope. And we're doing this improv game, and Nick, their team is killing us because we got this hula hoop.
Yeah.
And they got the rope. And I said, you know what? No, Nick, y'all got the easy one. You always set it up for yourself. That's why y'all got the rope. Let's switch right now and see if we can and see who come up with one then.
Right.
Give us the rope. You get the hula hoop.
And
no one's ever done that on TV. No one's ever done that at a taping. But because he respects me from our history and me being on there from the season one and all that, he said, cool, let's do it. Let's do it. We're going to start over right now. Started over, and they killed us again. Killed us again with the same thing we just had. We was like, we ain't thinking that. Why we ain't thinking that? And it just showed how dope it was. So that's one of my favorite moments because it was fun, it was real, and I talked smack and could not back it up. And I was like, dang, like Nick was killing. So that showed how dope it is, man.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's improv is amazing, though.
And when Cat Williams lit me up with the line. And I was always good at my I would always do something extra. Like people, I see people doing it now. I know people. So, like, first of all, I'm the first person ever on Wild Now to change my name on my shirt.
Ah.
Ever.
Wow, okay.
Ever. No, everybody had their same names, and I came out there one time, some on the back, like Joke Master. So like, and then I changed my name so many times that the stylist, they had to start ordering extra letters. So the beginning of the next scene is like, you only get this many letters because everybody started changing their name. I invented that.
You started that.
I started that.
You already started that.
Also created the name R&B Beef. That was my name. But I don't want to get to all of that. Nick is my friend. He's going to say he created everything. He's like, okay. I gave you about three potential baby mamas. So I don't want him to do that. But
yeah, speaking of baby mamas, I just want to touch for the...
Child's mothers.
Throuple. You have a couple situation going on. You're two girlfriends.
You're nervous talking about it.
No, I just want to know what to exactly call it.
A relationship?
The relationship. Okay.
Yeah, I mean
I'm fascinated by it because I mean I think it's awesome.
I don't know why people are, because realistically, if we think about mine, it's just maybe because it's me.
You know, I don't know. But it's just, I guess it's just conditioning, too. Like, you know, you grow up thinking one way, blah, blah.
But that's everything, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Everything
but I just think it's
done.
I think it's fascinating. I think if it works, that's great. I mean, it seems to be working great.
I think that people, I think people take on what they can really handle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of men, you can't handle your one woman. So I could see where. But I was raised by six sisters. I got women around me all the time. I know what to say and when not to say what to say.
Right.
So that's why I don't fall in those situations. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not manipulative, so I don't live in what they're saying R. Kelly lives in, that world. I don't live in that world. I'm not 51 years old. So,
right.
Hey, internet, hey, I'm not 51. See, there's no Beijing in this. I'm a beautiful guy.
That's dope.
Thanks, man. Sam. This is Sam. Me being beautiful was beautiful.
Yeah,
dope.
Of course.
Anyway, no. But realistically, I think it's more of the mindset that I love friendship, and we became friends first, and then the world starts saying, "Y'all, this is girl. Do you really have two girlfriends?" Because it's not traditional walking on the red carpet like that.
Right.
But if Prince did it, nobody say nothing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You got it. So I'm trying to mask that fly without being as exotic and close, because I'm not, you know, a little guy. I'm a big guy. So for me to have on ruffles, it just would look weird.
In the cave, you don't want to put a cape.
But y'all keep pushing. Y'all going to start getting that D-Ray. You're going to start getting that flamboyant, you know what I'm saying? Start getting that.
Y'all go out together?
That Lenny Kravitz all the time.
All the time, yeah.
The
camaraderie is really good.
We have fun, man. It's like this. Like, I was with me and Coco together yesterday. Karita's in Miami, and she's modeling. And doing a great job right now. Coco's line is here, so she goes back and forth. She went and visited Karita not too long ago, and we have a great relationship. Like, me and Coco watched a movie yesterday, and we're chilling. I stood up, went and fixed me a little tequila, and I turned her and I said, "Hey, I'm flying this bad one out Friday." And she's like, "Oh, yeah, who?" And it's Karita. I'm going to Jacksonville, so I'm flying Karita to Jacksonville.
I was like,
"Yeah, I got this bad one coming in." She's like, "Uh-huh, I heard about her." Like, so it's like, it's more comfortable than it is.
Nice.
You know, and if the men start really acting right, gentlemen in the world,
there
would be no multiplicity as far as relationships go. You'd be one man, one good man, one good one all the time. But you don't act like that. So therefore, the good guys like myself have to take on all of the responsibilities of the beautiful situation that y'all leave behind in heartbreak.
Hey, okay.
Not to mention the girls that come running back because y'all done messed up. And I got to re-explain that you are a good guy just going through something. So if you see a girl talking to me or texting me, I don't want her back, bro. I'm trying to help you out, okay?
Right. And D-Ray gives some excellent relationship advice on his IG.
I do.
Go check that out.
I do.
I want to talk real quick about Empire. How was your experience working with, you know, Taraji and Lee Daniels, all them?
She's a beast, man. There's nothing like her.
Yeah.
There's nothing like her. I can't even think. As far as, like, there's so many. They try to break all of Black Hollywood up by saying one person is one person. But there's so many talents out here. Same thing. Like, when I see these women getting their shot and their shine, like Regina coming out with the movie Little and all that. Like, well, she's been funny for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I seen Regina at the BET Awards, and I was a little tipsy, so I said to her, she would come to my shows, and her and Sinan, those guys would come to my show, be supportive and stuff. And I said to her, I said, "Regina," I was like, "man, people miss you." And the way it might sound to an actor is, "Where you been?" And I didn't mean it like that. I meant you, like how funny she is and how she let just be wild and just crazy. Like, I didn't know what. She's the first girl I've seen act like that. And I'm not I'm not hating on Tiffany Haddish at all. I'm saying Regina knocking down those doors when she was doing those scary movies.
The way
she was willing to go there.
Yeah.
Nobody was that pretty going there.
Right.
As a nobody. Right. Like, you know, willing to be ugly. Mm-hmm. She's willing to go there, willing to be ugly. And I mean, like, back to who else? Not just Regina, the other girl, because they're going to say I'm missing these people. But Regina consistently found a comfort zone in it.
Right.
Tiffany's beautiful, finding a comfort zone in it. Willing to get ugly with the conversation. And you don't see that. When I hear my sisters talking and they're beautiful, I'll be like, oh, like, my God. Like, no man who could sit quietly in a salon for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
A woman could sit quietly around men. That's true. Heard her. Kid, no man.
Nah.
Not at all. I was, I had to get out of there, man. I was sitting and they couldn't see me and they were talking to women and I had to get out of there. Like, women. Yeah. That's why they want equality.
Speaking of Empire, also.
But yes, we're working with Taraji, and I'm back. Shout out again to Regina and all those people. But Taraji, once again, everything she getting, she deserved. And I like to see people climbing up a ladder and not being wavered by the wind and still going and going and going. So she's, man.
Right. That's what
she's rich.
And Jussie just got cleared of all the charges and stuff. Yep. What did you think about that whole situation? Being from Chicago, too.
Once again, I was disappointed that if this were a lie, that's what he would say about my city. Because we already go through enough.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? I don't go to nobody's city and disrespect nobody's city ever.
Right, you look
at the history of it. Go look at anything I've ever said, any of my interviews. And it wasn't that I did a comedian. I'm talking about back in the day. Mm-hmm. I ain't never go like, Atlanta ain't. No.
Right.
Just because it's a whole city of people that don't even know you or don't even want to see you. So I felt like it just embodied all the negative about us. So if he did it or not, got off, that's none of my – I mean, he got off. I've been clear, you know what I'm saying? I done stole some stuff. And he said I didn't steal it. I was like, I can go.
Oh, okay. I'm clear.
I can go. I got the jeans on right now. I'm like, I can go. All right. Don't know evidence. So – if his money did do it, or whoever money did it, or whatever got it done, it got it done.
Yeah.
Because he realistic. I mean, he wasted some time. He realistic. He ain't do nothing.
Yeah.
He ain't do nothing bad.
For sure.
He didn't do nothing bad. I don't think he did nothing bad. You beat yourself up. You ain't do nothing bad.
Right.
You know what I mean? He didn't blame nobody in particular. He said two. Well, I can see how white people would be mad. He said with two white people. If you lie.
Yeah.
black people always get mad like that. Why I got to be two black people that did it?
The MAGA hats and all that.
Yeah, all that. That was a lot.
That was a lot.
I don't think they sell them hats in Chicago.
Right. That's what I'm like. In Chicago? Come on.
Mind them. But yeah, he's, man, talented, though, end of the day.
For sure.
And let's say he's maintained his innocence in the beginning. And let's say he's not innocent and he maintained the beginning, man, he's a great actor.
Great actor, right?
Man.
Well, I want to go into a lightning round of questions real quick with you. Just a little something fun. So what's your favorite word?
Favorite word?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a lot of little slogans, but no favorite word. I don't have
no favorite word.
I have a lot of little sayings, but somebody got to say it to me.
Yeah, oh, really?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
So, like, what I got to say?
What's my favorite word, Cam? What do I say to you all the time?
You make me say got it.
Get it, got it.
Okay.
I always say that. I always say got it. I always say stuff like that or make sense.
Okay.
Make it make sense.
Okay.
I can't think of it unless somebody says something to me, but it's, yeah.
You have any least favorite word, one that you don't like to say or like to hear?
Trump. No, I'm kidding.
there you go.
No, least favorite word. I don't like, no.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Okay. I guess okay is, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Nothing's never just okay with me. I'm like, you get it or not?
I got you.
Like,
got you. All right. Uncertainty, yeah.
Yeah.
What's something that turns you on?
No kidding. Throw your whole everything, all right? What the hell? That's why you got two girls. He don't want them. Turn on as far as what? You mean like with my
get
girls?
Get you excited. Get you going.
Promoting.
Promoting?
Promoted. Something getting done, like getting, that really gets me, like really get amped, like knowing I did something myself.
Okay. That's dope.
Just knowing I got it done myself. I ain't gonna say do it myself because take a team to do everything, but I mean like it's happening. Like my shows in Chicago.
Right.
Going from two show to one show to two show to three shows, getting ready to do four shows. Like it's like the excitement of giving out being able to provide jobs to people, being able to provide money to people, being able to pay people right away. I love that. I love when people are like, oh, you owe me. And I'm like, oh, give me a second. Did I not give it to you?
Right.
Give me 2 seconds. Like, I love that.
Okay.
I love being reminded about money I owe people and have it.
right.
Rather than not have it.
Right, and not
you know
have
what I mean?
It,
like,
right.
Oh, you ain't pay me. Oh, man, give me. All right, my fault doing 100 things. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like that. Like,
For sure. And real quickly, one of my favorites, if heaven exists, what would you like God to say to you?
Because God do exist. You're saying if he does have heaven also.
Yes, and if you got there.
Yeah, brother. Well, I don't know what I want God to say to me. I would love for God to, I don't want heaven to exist for him to talk to me. I'd rather him talk through me so I can be able to conversate with people.
That's a new one. I haven't heard that one before.
Yeah, okay. I prefer that than me waiting because it might be too late. And he might have been trying to tell me something.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I ignored it, and now I can't hear it. I can't really hear it. You got a lot to talk about. A lot of messages you got to reply to, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure his inbox is crazy.
So blowing up.
I'd rather him speak through me and I'll be able to give conversations, because regardless if I'm doing the right or wrong thing, I feel like I'm always good at giving advice and inspiration.
Gotcha.
I always tell people, even if I include myself, if something's not treating you right, include myself. You should remove yourself from it if you're not comfortable with it. And that's what I want. I want to give me just, if you just give me a little bit more of those, I'm able to inspire people. Like,
Right.
Yeah. I always do it. With everybody around me, I always say, get it. Well, go. What you waiting on? Go do it. What are you talking about? Like, how's this going? Like, get
Why
it.
Why wait?
Yeah.
That's true. All right,
cool. And while I'm waiting, though.
While I'm hesitating,
I'm telling people, what are you waiting on? Get in shape while I'm sitting there eating a burger. What are you doing? Don't be drunk. Well, I got a fifth or something on me. But I like the fact, maybe sometimes people hear, you know, it's your job to do that, and you want to hear it. Maybe. That's pretty much it, though.
Okay, for sure. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Appreciate it for having me on Mixed Hollywood Live. No, I'm kidding.
Thanks, all right. Thanks for having us inside the Black Actor Studio. Go ahead and tell everyone where they can find you, and then you also...
I'll be
tour,
stripping
right?
this week at what's the strip club called? No, I'm on tour right now. Make sure you check out D. Ray Davis on tour. I'm trying to shoot my next special, Love Hates Me, real soon. But if you see me coming to your city, come see me. If you can't afford to see me, then find something funny in that day. Regardless of what's going on in your life, find somebody you think is funny or something you want to make yourself laugh, because you definitely deserve that. And that's it, man.
Yeah, enjoy yourself. Find you on social media?
At D. Ray Davis. DereyDavis. No one wants to be like me because my credit is iffy. All right? And remember, let no one's process stop your progress. Let's get it.
I love that. Thank you so much for watching, guys. It's your boy Danny Royce here inside the Black Actor Studio.
Music nice.
We'll see you next week. Same place, same
Freestyle.
Time. Have a good weekend, guys.
Yo, dumb about, man. Next time.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live. Hollywood redefined.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.